Take us to 1907. The federal government basically ignored the Cherokee Constitution and divided up the land, and your family received their property.
Right. That period of history is a very dark day, I think, in Cherokee history. When Cherokee people were removed from our old homeland in the southeast to what was Indian territory, we were granted land and told we could live here uninterrupted forever. So this was a territory. And when the land was individually allotted, it had a profound impact on people. Also, the federal government did everything it could to try to destroy the Cherokee Nation, but it didn't. And it came very close to it. But Cherokee people, during that long period from statehood to the 70s when we started electing our own chiefs again, met and never ever gave up the dream of having their own government again, of having some control over their own destiny again. It's really remarkable if you look at the spirit of Cherokee people. And Bill Keeler, who was CEO of Phillips Petroleum at the time, but also a Cherokee member, used his influence to help us earn the right to reelect our leaders again. So it was a very dark period of time. It was a horrible period of time. In Muskogee, if you read Angie DeBose's work, there were unscrupulous people who would go to the courts in Muskogee and get themselves appointed as guardians of the Cherokee people who had been given allotments of land and then, you know, do whatever they wanted to do with the land. Chad Smith always says that now we have 0.5% of the land we had after the removal. But that history of that period of time, that the Dawes Act and all the subsequent things that happened to Cherokee people during that time is one of the greatest land thefts in history.
Mankiller Flats, was that part of what you received in this allotment in 1907?
Yes. Part of it was allotted to our family, the part that our family still has. And then other Cherokee families were also allotted land. A lot of them lost land. We have come to accept the fact that one of our relatives, Arch Mankiller, had a piece of land that was lost during that period of time, and there's an old Mankiller graveyard on that property, but there's no legal way to get it back.
I should have started out with 1907, and then you told the story, and that's when Mankiller Flats was given to your father.
You have to think about it in a different way. Okay. Here in eastern Oklahoma, in the Cherokee Nation, community is very important. People identify themselves by their community. I just met some girls out at Northeastern Cherokee Girls, and my second question after the name is, where are you from? I'm from Kenwood. I'm from Cherry Springs. I'm from Uchi. So I'm from Mankiller Flats. So while a map wouldn't say Mankiller Flats or Cherry Tree, they're rural area or county, that's how we identify them, how Cherokee people identify them. At one point, I thought, though nobody else thinks this is any validity at all, Cherokee people used to identify when you would meet them and greet them, you would say, hi, my name is Wilma, and I'm from the Wolf Clan. And then you would know right away who their family is, where they're from, what they were like. When I worked in a lot of the rural communities in the late 70s and the early 80s, people had such a strong identification with community that I almost thought that communities replaced the old clan system because people don't use it that much anymore, their clans except for medicine. So you can't think of it as a geographic space necessarily, more like a grouping of families. I don't know how to explain that, but you see what I'm saying.
But again, it was in 1907 that all happened for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's when our family was allotted the land. When it started being called Mankiller Flats, I don't know.